first week of September will mark the first edition of something many Londoners have cried out for years now, another newspaper. It's not the first such venture, of course. Others have tried and fallen by the wayside. But Ron Thomas came away from a meeting with three of the key people in the London Tribune rather favorably impressed. The three are Mark Emery, publisher, Doug Phippen, managing editor, and Gary Webb Proctor, assistant publisher and editor-in-chief. The Tribune will be a weekly, at least to start. Mr. Emery says the Thursday publication day was a media decision.
A great deal of events occur or will occur or need to be reported for people over the weekend, like entertainment features are particularly relevant Thursday morning because they're going to occur over the weekend, and that the advertisers with are aiming at people with disposable income, and that's when they spend it. People get paid on Thursday. People tend to buy a paper, a community paper, to read and relax over the weekend. And generally, it's media-oriented, like it's advertised or media-oriented. There's no particular day that's better for news. Although, actually, that's not true, I guess, in the case of council and border control. Monday and Wednesday are key days, and we can get that Wednesday afternoon and have it ready Thursday morning. And we must admit it's one of the days the free press is weakest, and that's another consideration. They have the slenderest edition of the week, generally, on Thursday.
The matter of delivery pops into mind. Are you going to have home delivery? Will it be entirely retail outlets? And will it be another one of these handouts, one of the freebies, as it were, as a la the London News?
There'll be complete retail availability. That is, everywhere you would find other daily papers, the Globe, the Star, the Free Press will be there, will be in restaurants, variety stores, newsstands, grocery stores. We'll have a very vigorous circulation team, and they'll be initiating home delivery almost immediately with carriers similar to other newspapers. So no, it will be sold too. We feel our paper is worth somewhat more than we're charging, so we feel that even at a quarter it's a very good deal and we should sell a great deal at that price.
All right, I suppose in a sense all of my questions could be directed to the publisher, but in an attempt to get to move it around a little bit, Doug, you're an experienced newspaper man from what I'm told, and some experience in London. I'm sure you've watched attempts here, or at least heard about attempts here, to make a go of a newspaper in London, and all of them have fallen short. Why can you succeed where others have failed?
Well, I think it's a matter of analyzing the community's needs. We've had a look at the London area. We've conducted several surveys. We've got a profile on what London newspaper readers wish to read, what their response is or their acceptance is of the various media, the electronic as well as the printed. And there is a very definite need locally for a community weekly newspaper. My experience has been in a number of new ventures in weekly newspapers, and knock wood, all have been successful to date.
There's no reason to expect that this one won't be. That gets us over to Gary Webb Proctor, of course. Gary, you have some experience in making a community newspaper work. Great deal of experience, probably in London as much as anyone. I obviously have no idea what the financial picture of the old satellite operation was, but it seems to me as though you survived, obviously, although it appeared as though it may not have been the most roaring success from a financial point of view. What's your attitude going into this new one?
Well, I'm really excited. Satellite was always underfunded. It was a non-profit organization which carried a lot of liabilities forward from the days when it was funded by governments and whatnot. To me, you know, the fact that we were able to make it survive without any money and without a lot of the things that we needed is an indication of just how badly London wants another paper. You can't really compare CityScan to what we're doing here. What we're doing here is a basic community-type paper. In other words, we'll have a sports section, an entertainment section. We'll cover the news very thoroughly and very professionally. And I'll really be drawing more on my experience with the Globe and Mail and Toronto Sun, writing for people like Time Magazine, than on what I was doing with CityScan in terms of putting this paper out. But it's certainly very clear to me that London has long since been large enough for a paper like this. There have been efforts in the past, as you mentioned earlier, to start community papers. I don't think they've been particularly well organized. I don't think they've been very professionally done. I think we're we're lucky that we've got a good team of people here, and we have a publisher who approaches things in a very professional way and who's very determined and who has a pretty good track record.
There was some indication, I recall, somewhere out of the past that a few years ago that it would take considerable sums of money. The figure $4 million pops into my head in order to come up with a daily newspaper to compete with the London Free Press. Are you aware of that figure, and is it accurate? And if so, have you got $4 million?
Actually, to recreate an operation like the Free Press would be about $6 million. So you're looking at an extensive program to, expensive capitalization to promote a daily. It's very expensive to put a weekly together, too. Our budget is quite enormous. It's but we have sufficient capitalization. We found a great number of investors and a very interested clientele as far as that field goes of subscribing people to support our paper while it's getting started before it produces a profitable return. I'm familiar with the expenses. Naturally, we had a very detailed budget before we spent a penny of any money we had, or for that matter, a penny of any money we collected. We had a very clear idea of what it would cost. And we have not been disappointed or particularly surprised. Things have borne out as our budget program predicted. And I can only say that I'm glad it's not the same scope as a daily as far as expenditures go.
Is the paper going to be a political platform for Mark Emery?
No, my employment here is only as publisher, and that is a director and coordinator of all the components that go into producing a legitimate and consistently high-quality newspaper. And no, you'd find my position here would be awkward and not necessarily tenuable if I started using it as a mouthpiece. You'll find that that's, in any case, from an editorial point of view, and the way to convince people of a particular point of view is not to preach to them redundantly or repetitively. I think you have to deal with a very subtle, common sense approach. Our editorials will be consistent, but they will not ever oppress people by saying, oh, this is just a rag supporting someone's point of view.
Political philosophy, my next question to Doug. I think the general image, of course, of the Free Press is somewhat conservative, be that small C or large C. Will the Tribune have a political point of view, and if so, what will that be?
Well, we'll certainly be commenting editorially on political issues. We aren't tied into any particular political philosophy or party. We're essentially independent. I think that our readers will find different points of view put forward in our editorial columns, points of view in which even our editors may differ. But I think the great asset to our paper will be that we intend to accept virtually any other person's point of view for publication in our letters column, just as long as they don't involve slander or libel.
Gary, that sort of gets us over to City Hall in a sense. I found it interesting in a layout page for a promotional, I take it that was a promotional edition that I saw, that the headline over an article about your City Hall coverage uses the word probed. I found that interesting, particularly given, your background in City Scan. Are you out to get them at City Hall sort of thing?
There are many aspects of a story other than what comes out through a decision of council. There's a lot of background. There are a lot of many issues touching on a given story. We'll certainly be probing in the sense that we'll be examining very carefully what decisions are made and on what basis they're made. And when there are figures laid out, if they're budget figures or if they're traffic figures or whatever, we'll be examining them very, very rigorously. And in a sense, we'll be probing. It's not necessarily an attempt to get them. It has been my experience that there are many, many things done at City Hall which are not done well and which need to be brought to the attention of the public, and I'm sure that will be reflected if it continues to be the case. Now, if council all of a sudden starts making the right decision every time or starts has a consistent line of decision making, then that will reflect too.
Actually, our sample brochure contains our brochure contains a sample four-page example of what we'll be producing, and on that editorial page we actually say not so much as complimentary, but we say we approve of two measures taken by certain councillors or city council as a whole. In fact, there isn't an article dealing with a negative aspect of City Hall. So it's ironic that, in truth, you know, we are going to look very carefully what City Hall does, but we've taken the time to examine some issues which we feel they were, in fact, quite accurate, and that some councillors were right on target in dealing with and how they dealt with it, and we kind of expand upon what they weren't able to get in the other press media. Like, some of the important points they did make were never covered, and we feel these two editorials bring out and accentuate to the public exactly what was said and why it was important.
So it's not a matter of going out and looking for skeletons in closets kind of thing.
No, there are already so many of those available in London, we don't have to look. Believe me, they'll put themselves on our front door.
We will be checking out the closets.
Yeah.
And if we find skeletons there, well then so be it. You know, we're not going to be afraid to ask. There's a famous quote, you know, there's no such thing as an embarrassing question. There are only embarrassing answers.
Mm-hmm.
And our reporters are being picked on the basis that they're able to ask questions, and that when they don't understand something, they ask a question. If they still don't understand it, they ask again until they find out what it is. And that would be our attitude in terms of the news, that our attempt is to get to the core of what a story is about, to get down to exactly why the decision was made, on what basis, and what factors were involved. If there are skeletons in closets, well, we probably will find them, but we won't just be in the closets. We'll be out looking in the halls and on the streets, too.
I recall in a class at Western a number of years ago, when I was a student there, William Heine said the first responsibility of the newspaper is to stay in business. That, of course, followed a half-hour discussion of all kinds of lofty ideals and all the rest of that, and that brought us down to earth rather quickly. But, of course, it's true. You can't do anything at all unless you stay in business. I want to ask all three of you, are you in business? Are you forming a new newspaper to make money? Or are you doing it because the community needs the service, because the community needs a second paper?
Actually, those two statements, though, are corollaries. We're only going to make money if the community needs a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
We feel from the research we've done that the community does indeed need a newspaper, and should the newspaper appear done properly, professionally, and with the highest standards of journalism in mind, it will indeed make money.
Doug?
Well, when you come down to the bottom line, if a newspaper is to be of service to the people, and I feel the newspaper's primary responsibility is to provide people with accurate information, it has to be independent. It can only be independent if it is financially viable. So the two interrelate.
Gary, it's certainly a new opportunity for you.
Well, it is, and certainly we're in business to make money. And the way we've chosen to make money is by providing an excellent weekly newspaper. I think it's well worth pointing out and noting, too, that it's not just the readers who need another newspaper in town. It's also the advertisers. There are many, many businesses out there, small businesses in particular, for whom it's not economical to advertise in the daily, particularly with the rate structure that's in place. And these people want an alternative to that paper, and now they have it. That's our constituency, and we expect to make money from them as they make money from us. And hey, together we'll all make money and we'll have a better paper.